cliffcentral.com. The following business conversation is brought to you by Trudon, the publisher of the Yellow Pages and proud supporter of small business in South Africa.
Into the last few seconds of the game, piling in 2 meters from the line. Ball comes out and it's a massive hit as you realize your wife's been asking you to fix the dripping tap since last weekend. Skips first center, into the half gap, and it's still drip, drip, drip. And here comes your angry wife, buddy.
Address those pressing issues fast. Access yellowpages.co.za from your mobile, tablet, or via the app. Now with free call, bookings, quotations, and detailed maps. Yellow Pages. Local reliable results in an instant.
Leadership Platform, SME Masterclass, and today we talk about productivity with Anthony Soitcher, strategy architects, and certainly as you'll see, our approach is going to be a little different than you may think, but I think very, very needed. Last week we spoke with Jonathan Cohen. I found that fascinating. Richard, what do you think?
Yeah, that was a really, really good conversation.
CEO of Imperial Green Mobility, but he's in his early 30s, really early 30s, and he's failed, succeeded, sold business to Imperial. He's gone through so much, and it's a fascinating podcast to download. Today, productivity. Anthony Soitcher, welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to have you with us. Is a strategy architect? Is that?
Yes, I'm a lecturer at the Wits Business School as well, and I've got a consulting company.
Okay. For your sins, you lecture at Wits Business School.
Yep.
How's the business school? I mean, there's a lot of competition these days, eh?
It's hot, but we're doing some interesting things.
Moving forward.
Yep.
Very good. Before we kick off the conversation, we're going to, for 3 minutes or so, we have an interesting guest in the studio this time, Derek Nzavi. He's a business mentor and advisor. He's helped hundreds of businesses register over the years, their little dream, and then coach, mentor, guide them on their journey. So he's going to share just 3-4 minutes, some inspiration thought. Derek, welcome. First time on our show.
Thanks, Adrian, and thanks, Richard, for having me today.
Your message to SMEs before we kick off the productivity conversation?
When I looked at the topic today, because I do follow you a lot, and I don't have a choice anyway because you tag me. So, what we're looking at is that how do we connect productivity and the energy? Because you cannot be productive if you don't have energy. It's like a car. If you know that your car is on a reserve, you can't drive very far. You know that even if you can start it, you can't go very far, but you need to fill in the tank first. So for you to be productive, the first point is that you have to make sure that you have the energy. And how do we derive energy for us to keep moving? Because that's very important. I believe that as a small business owners, we have to recharge ourselves by reading and studying and always be on course. Because sometimes if we miss those points, we can talk about the product, but the product without the energy from the owner, it's not going to do anything. Mm. So it's very important that as an entrepreneur, you have to do a research. You have to study on your product. You have to study on your market. You have to make sure that everything is on point. Mm. And that will be easier for you to go on a full tank up to Cape Town or to Cairo. So meaning that even if your product is losing the energy, even if your product is no longer effective, you will be able to apply what you have learned, to apply the skills that you have put together, and you will be able to continue with that energy. And that is very important. So today, what I looked at was to say, you know what, for you to be productive, you cannot be productive if you are on low. Because some of the entrepreneurs, their failure is caused by being emotional. You want to bring the emotions into your business, your personal stuff into your business. I mean, Adrian, it doesn't matter how you fought with your, you know, at home. You know that at 12 o'clock, I have to be at a show. It doesn't matter. The same with business. The product expects you to sell it at a particular time. Mm. And if you miss that because your energy is low, it's going to be difficult for you to sell and to make profit in your business.
Lovely, lovely point. Practical one. And small business owners, certainly, those who think that they're going to run their own business and have more hours available, I think a slight mistake. So you better keep your tank full. The hardest boss is yourself, isn't it?
That's it. Because like yesterday, I think I slept around 1. I know you gave me 3 minutes, right? But I had to make sure that I study at least for 2 hours. Mm. Because whatever I have to say has to make sense. And at the end of the day, I have to make sure that because this is my product now, and I'm sitting in my product, and I'm speaking. But now, if I don't know what I'm talking about, it's not going to help. But sometimes we think that because I'm going to work for 2 minutes, I don't have to prepare for 1 hour. And everything that you do, it needs a research. You cannot just wake up and talk and wake up and do anything without that energy.
Putting the time, putting the planning, putting the thinking. Don't be a lazy thinker. That's Derek Nzavi. Derek, we can anyone can follow you on Twitter. Your Twitter handle is what?
It's Nzavi, D-N-D-Z-A-V-I-D.
D for Derek.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I hope we can talk some more. You succeeded. Your 2 hours preparation worked. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Great message. Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team, introduce the topic for us today. Give us some perspective, a canvas on which we're going to paint.
So, Adrian, I think, you know, when people talk about the concept of productivity and planning and what they're doing in their business, immediately people think about, okay, so how do I get the outputs from my business? How do I get this business to actually work? And immediately people think about, so, you know, to be productive, it's all about how I manage time, how I manage my inputs, and how I just make it happen. But we're going to look at this a little bit differently today.
Or the flow in your business, the business processes. And those are important in big structural organizations, but yeah, that's...
But I think fundamentally there's a shift that has happened over time that we need to take note of. And that's the reality that no matter what way you look at it, to be productive in today's world means that you need to be connected with the world. Now, you know, when we talk about the world of connection as individuals, we often think about our cell phone, our email, and maybe our social media, etc. But in a business, in the business context, productivity is actually, let's call it into two parts. There's effectiveness and efficiency. Now, both of those elements come down to one common thing. And that's what a term I want to, let's call it for the moment, the principle of enablement within your business. If you want to be an effective and efficient communicator, you need to be enabled. If you want to be an effective and efficient leader in your business, you need to be enabled. And the reality in today's day and age is that all comes down to one word, those two letters. It's normally called IT.
Okay,
so
let's go.
That's why we have Anthony with us in the studio today, because when we talk productivity, you know, the reality is without that enablement and capability that you have to have as a business today, it's just not going to happen. So, Anthony, I mean, if we talk about the principles of enablement, I mean, the first thing that, you know, as a business leader that comes to my mind is, well, it's all very easy when it's me, myself, and I.
Yep.
I'm the only one around. I've got my phone, I've got my iPad, I've got my PC, and it's just let's call it a unit of one. And that has some IT implications. But suddenly when there's 3 of us in the business, or 30 of us in the business.
People at a distance in another city or whatever.
Yep. And we talk about almost the multiplier effect. I know you've got a good word for it. What do you call it?
The network effect.
The network effect, yeah. Of just this multiplier, and everybody's got to be connected with everybody else. Suddenly, this world moves way beyond just something as simple as, okay, so let's talk about efficiency and effectiveness of communication with something as simple as email, for example. And you would not believe the number of times that I've experienced businesses where fundamentally their primary form of business interaction is simply email because they don't have anything else. And to get into that deeper thought around how you connect and how you enable your business from an efficiency perspective is a huge issue.
Yeah. I think one of the challenges we get is we're talking in the abstract, and we're talking about technology, its role in improving efficiency and effectiveness. Mm. But it's only when you start looking at specific businesses and their specific problems that we can start getting practical about it.
Exactly.
So what I'll talk to you about a little bit today, and we can have a bit of a rolling conversation, is that, you know, when we start looking at individuals starting a business and then rolling that business into a broader group and hopefully into something that spans the continent or grows into the world, there's a number of things that come to mind that are common problems and irrespective of the size.
Yeah.
It
doesn't matter whether this is a business of 30 or a business of 300 or a business of 3,000. These problems
pervade across.
The problems are pervasive. I think the way you approach them and the resources, obviously, that you've got available to you are going to be different. But the thinking patterns, if you like, or the patterns that we see are exactly the same. And one of the patterns that start that is probably the most familiar to all of us is the pattern of design, build, and implement. So when it comes to technology, we start with defining the problem. And we design something by saying, let's get a specification written down, exactly what we need. Let's get that specification signed off by everybody. No one understands it, by the way.
I was going to say, I've lived through some of these experiences in my life.
Yeah. So we get this. We go through this long process of defining or doing our best to articulate our requirements in some gory detail. We end up with these files that are inches thick, and we pass it around for comment, and some people don't have time to read it, so they just nod or they put their signature on the last page. But what we end up with is a document that represents our best take on articulating our requirements at the point in time, and then what do we do? And then what typically happens is we go out to tender, or we go out with a request for proposals, or we approach a couple of companies and say, that's our requirement, and they'll look at this thing and they'll say, well, you know, it fits into what we can do, and they'll give us a price. But we're playing a strange game there, because what often happens, and in fact we've seen this, the numbers talk for themselves, the success rates in IT projects are horribly low. Mm. We're talking probably 16% on budget and on time. Mm. And that's a massive indictment of our industry, that you know we've got this such a poor success rate. So one of the things that's come out in recent years is this whole agile movement, this whole different approach, completely refreshing approach to how we think about this stuff. But it comes with its own problems. And the different approach is that instead of saying we're going to get it right, we're going to get this design right up front, what we do is we say, let's start somewhere. Let's speculate about what we need. And there's uncertainty that's part of that conversation.
And I think that's that's the reality of small and medium businesses today. You don't know exactly what you need when you start, but you have an idea of a few problems that you need to solve immediately and potentially three or four more that you're probably going to encounter over the next short period of time in your business.
Exactly.
So this is not just IT trying to save face because they've been so unsuccessful in successfully rolling out projects.
We've given up trying to save face.
Let's come with a clever answer. I mean, it's an evolving world. Things change all the time. So we can't come with a perfect solution and a perfect ending. It's an evolution of building the IT solution in your business so that you can be more productive.
Correct. But I think importantly, I think while IT takes it on the chin or is often smacked on the head with this, I think it's actually a thinking problem. It's an expectation problem. So while we often say that IT projects fail, it's our expectations as managers that are maybe misaligned, that we expect someone to have an answer to our question when our question isn't really that credible. And when our requirements are changing, I've seen this so many times, where we'll start in good faith to tackle a problem, but the requirements keep changing. We've heard about changing the goalposts. Mm. But we've heard, often a business and its environment is changing all the time. So what we're doing is we're trying to build something very precise. I mean, that the whole logic of how we build information systems is quite a technical precision process. Mm. But in an environment of uncertainty, when there's a lot of new competition and new ways of tackling things, I mean, for example, financial services, new products coming out, we start with something that looks very simple. And before we've even built it, before we've even delivered on this thing, the requirements start changing. Why? Because there's new competitors coming in, new regulations, all sorts of things changing around us, and the whole thing falls apart.
Now, I mean, we've talked about that speed of change that we, in other shows and competitor analysis and understanding the market. I think for me, the whole point about, doing this analysis and understanding where you're at and what the problems are and the challenges, and let's try and stay away from the word problem because I think business is about the challenges and the smart businesses are the ones that overcome quickly and those that fail are the ones that just don't get there. Now, from a productivity perspective, I mean, the reality is, we should know and understand a little about our world and it sounds like, it's clear that the incremental approach is the way to get things to happen. Once that kind of, you've crossed that Rubicon of decision-making about how you do things and it's not the big Ben-Hur project approach, the reality is that it's actually about a thinking process in terms of understanding what makes your world tick. And I mean, I guess the reality is from a productivity perspective, it's easy to say, oh, well, we just need to do this with a system. But maybe doing it with a system isn't the actual answer. Maybe doing step one and step three with the system and doing step two manually is still the right answer. So, so that that analysis and understanding of your business processes is a critical part of driving productivity in enabling your work.
Correct. And unfortunately, it's not that simple. And this is where I often say that we need to look at things strategically with one eye very focused on the immediate need, and then we need to be squint. So we need to also be looking longer term. Because one of the problems with the incremental approach is that we will solve today's problems, but we're going to create new challenges for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because we're not building to any kind of long-term cohesive vision. So we need to trade off. This is a lot about balancing acts.
Okay.
We're balancing the immediacy of the challenges or the requirements of today, which we can often deal with in short, small projects, small increments, while at the same time not making sure that these things are not going to start treading on each other's toes down the line. Because what we'll end up with is something called technology debt or something that's going to be a little bit of a mess that we're creating. And, you know, we realize 2 years down the line that all the money and all the time we've invested in all these projects has painted us into a bit of a corner. And now we need to start unwinding things before we can move forward. And that's not a happy place to be.
Okay, let's change track a little here and let's go to perhaps some examples.
I just want to hear Derek sitting quietly. He thought he's just going to do the inspiration thought. You see small businesses with productivity challenges and trying to incorporate IT and putting a fancy little system in when it doesn't necessarily have to be and creating future problems. And any comment on what you've heard discussed here?
Two things came to mind from that. Skills and competency.
Yeah.
Because the focus on the IT today, it's on the skills. But the competency is what delay the process. Because if you have a skill, IT skill, that you can do, and you come to my company, you put the systems in place and everything. But in terms of now, how do I effectively make use of what you have given me? That's where the problem is. And that leads to the collapse of most of the systems that IT guys are very good with the skills, very perfect, and they do the good work. But now when they leave my team to say, now let's do the work, my team is not competent enough. So that can make the IT look like it has failed, whereas my team might have failed to use the system correctly.
Okay, good point. Okay.
Yep.
So I think that's a great lead into the next part of the conversation, because fundamentally, you know, we've got a small, let's take an example, we've got a small company, maybe got 30 or 40 employees, needs to be represented countrywide. You know, a distribution company buying and selling items, they import, for example, and then they're reselling them. In that type of example, the natural reaction of an entrepreneur in that type of business is, okay, so I need to be connected. So I've got to have some sort of connection between my people. Immediately we all jump into let's do the email thing. So that's let's call it the accepted norm. I tell you, I still hanker after the days of a good old-fashioned inbox where turnaround times of a week was accepted norm. Nowadays, if you don't respond to my email 10 minutes after I sent it, I phone you and say, why are you ignoring me?
Because you assume everyone does have it on their phone and they look at their phone all day.
All day, every day. You know, while we're sitting here in the show, I should be answering my emails. I mean, you know, let's get real here. Email's one part of the world that's there and is accepted. But I think for me, the depth of a company goes way beyond that. So, you know, this particular company that I've sketched, here they've got an issue. They need to share information or data on various things, their products, simple things, you know, brochures, costings, etc.
Customer information.
And I mean, I think customer information goes far beyond let's call it the good old contact management system that, you know, this is the guy's phone number and his birth date. We're actually looking now at far deeper, let's call it customer relationship type of...
Or customer analytics.
And analytics and understanding why behaviors happen and why the buying behavior is the way it is. Then you got your good old need for the good old accounting system, because, I mean, we want to keep track of all of these transactions that we've got going there. You know, so I sketch this picture of, you've got this, let me call it, a business that's happened and it's there. When we talk about efficiencies and productivity in that space, you know, my immediate mind comes to the client that doesn't have an IT infrastructure or an IT person, for example. You know, and I now turn back to your conversation a few moments ago and say, so how are they going to do all of this? How do we solve for that practicality?
Yeah. So that's a big problem.
Okay. That's why we need consultants.
That's indeed. So we'll make an appointment. All right. So I think one of the things that I like to do is I like to wave this pen around, and I know this is a radio show. I like to say that, you know what, we don't want to over-computerize. We don't want to over-engineer anything. So what we want to do is we want to find a way to identify the things that are going to add real value to the business. Mm-hmm. So this is not about computerizing for computerizing's sake or chasing technology for its own sake. It's about being very clear about what the business needs to make it successful. And as Derek said, it's about looking at how you're going to get the value out of that investment in the technology, because the technology itself is wonderful. It's really exciting. There's guys out there who can deliver great things, but if we haven't got the skills to use them and we're not going to make them effective, there's already a problem. So the first thing that I found in all these scenarios, and this is your scenario was a 30, 40 person company, but I've seen it with 3,000-4,000 people as well, is about prioritizing. And prioritizing is the really hard thinking work that happens before we do anything with technology. In fact, one of the things I've been reading talks about 80% of the hard work being around analyzing and understanding the problem before you touch a computer.
Yeah.
And that will make that will improve the odds on success.
I was going to say, and I think the reality is often, and you know, let's contrast this. It's okay. I've just done a quick Google search on, you know, what I need for to be able to share information between, and I think we should put our company onto X application. You know, it's like, drop it out there and hope that's going to solve the problem. It's kind of the piecemeal thinking, gut reactionary type of response.
I call it fast food logic. So what we've got is we've got Google at our fingertips. We can type in a search and we can find 17 million results. And on that first page, there's some things that promise, they're talking the right language, they promise to solve our problems straight away. And it's very tempting to jump in. But without that rigor, without that careful thinking beforehand, what we're potentially going to do is shoot ourselves in the foot.
So the message I'm hearing here is, if you want to get your productivity right, slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Think.
Which is counterintuitive.
Counterintuitive. So stop spinning your wheels, slow down, think through the issues that are driving your business's effectiveness and efficiency. Ask the questions about, so how do we do this? What are the things that we need to change? And as you say, before you even touch the technology elements, make sure you understand what you're doing and why.
Yeah, an example. I came across a client of mine a few years ago, which was a medical aid company that was expanding into Africa. And one of the things they wanted to do was launch new products for ensuring medical insurance for people, for expats throughout Africa. So they'd evacuate them back to South Africa if need be. And this was really exciting. But they had no experience with it. This wasn't a business. This was a concept. And they came to me and said, well, we want to build a system. And I said to them, fine, let's use Excel. And they were horrified because they wanted a shiny system that had all business rules and business logic and reports and all sorts of things. And we went down a path after their insistence. But it turned out that the right thing to do would have been to use something like Excel, because we would have had freedom to do whatever we needed. And at the right time, would have started locking things down and automating certain elements of the processes and started implementing some of the business rules. But this business, over the first 6 months, went through 7 different directions, because the first thing didn't quite work as they planned, and that product wasn't approved. And you know, so sometimes the ability to keep that option of choosing your direction and not locking yourself into something prematurely is an enormously valuable option. In fact, in financial terms, it's called a real option.
Yeah. And knowing where you're going to get capability and where you're going to hinder your growth and your capacity to expand.
Correct.
I think, you know, that let's call it clear vision. And I mean, we talk about leadership concepts, is that the lack of direction will mean that you will be that ship without a harbor or an intended destination. You'll kind of drift from one place to the next. And often from a productivity perspective, that's the worst, because you're trying to be productive. That's your let's call it project mindset end game. But actually you leave a point of departure, and you've got nowhere to go, and you kind of just meander and wander through so many options that ultimately you don't have a destination in mind. And I think that from a productivity perspective is the ultimate worst case scenario. that you think you're being productive and you think you're driving an outcome when in fact you go absolutely nowhere.
Yep.
Okay, Derek, while Louis wants to share a thought, any thoughts you have? Keep the really small business in mind, yeah. I mean, you deal with them every day from townships everywhere. You know, the real productivity elements. So we bring the modern day principle into it. But just your thoughts, and then Louis has a comment.
Yeah. As he was just trying to address this, three things that came to mind is that we need to understand that as a small business, work on your cost. Because in as much as you need an IT full service, you still need to know how much it's going to cost you. Because if you don't know the cost, you're going to, right in the middle of the program, and say to the IT guys, no, can we take out this? And some of the programs cannot function without the other. It's like a warehouse. If you have a warehouse and you are going to use the space in future, but in the IT, you get the full package, even though you're going to use in future. So it's like pay in advance. So you have to look at that. But again, you have to arrange payments, because some of the programs you'd find that it's way over in terms of how you can afford it. But if you talk to the developers and say, guys, listen, how much can I pay you, or can we have the terms here? Because that's going to help you to run the business. Okay. Because some of the programs, you will develop it and only to find that the IT guy leaves you in the middle because you did not pay the full amount. So make sure that you make the arrangement with the people. And again, make sure that you know who's going to use the program. Not that as a CEO, then you know, we have a program and now you leave all your responsibilities. Now you go and sit, learn the program. But when the problems come, you are not going to be there to do the troubleshooting. So you have to get somebody that you know that is going to do that.
All right, Louis.
Anthony, I was a management partner in a IT company for years, so I know some of the problems. But in a modern context, how often does one really need to develop new software and not use existing systems?
Okay, so this is something I come across all the time. And in fact, it's possibly one of the red herrings out there, that we talk about things in binary terms. We talk about this build versus buy. And in truth, there's very seldom the extremes. We very seldom build something from scratch, and very seldom do we buy something that doesn't need tailoring and customization to fit into our environment. So at the two extremes, we talk about big systems like an SAP ERP system or one of the others like Oracle. And what happens is we seldom just buy that and turn it on. What happens is we'll go into a process of often of years in large projects where we spend a lot of time tailoring that to meet our business processes because we don't want to change the way we work. So we adapt the software and it goes into almost a software development cycle of its own. At the other extreme, even when you start building software from scratch, very seldom do you invent from first principles. You often use libraries that are already in existence. So that they do somewhat meet. And I think part of the challenge is knowing when to choose the one over the other. One of the problems we find is that what gives you that let's call it the quick leg up, the 80% fit. So a good example is a small organization would need a content management system or a website. It would need a website to give it a public presence. And it would need access to, it might have a private area where customers or partners can log in and get additional information. And there's so many things out there. I mean, there literally are thousands or tens of thousands of products out there that already exist. The problem is most of them, and including some of the leading ones out there, will give you that very, very quick productivity. They'll get your project on the road very, very quickly. Within a few weeks, you can have something visible and it looks very credible. And that's when it slows down. Because that last 20% ends up taking a disproportionate amount of cost and time, and in fact may just be the wrong way to approach the problem.
Okay.
So I've kind of answered in a slightly roundabout way, but it's one of the dilemmas, and I think it's one of the management challenges we have is knowing when to build and when to buy.
Mm. We could write books on
that. We could indeed.
In the world we are in today, so many options. We've got to start wrapping it up, Richard.
So I think for me the whole principle of how do you get that productivity in your environment? Fundamentally, if I can summarize, for me, is all about your thinking process and how you think about your outcome and your desired end state. Slow down to speed up would be another element. And then I think what's also very clear from the banter backwards and forwards here is that getting the right level of expertise and somebody that understands you as a business person and what you need to deliver on as your, let's call it your IT consultant or your IT support environment, is critical. We keep saying this on the show, is talk to the right people, talk to the experts, but just in this space, also be aware that an expert isn't necessarily the person who comes carrying a product card, you know, I sell X, Y, or Z. Those experts are often, or perceived experts, are often going to just give you the product they're trying to sell. So be careful the difference between an expert and a salesperson.
So, and follow your instincts. It's your business. You know your business. You know, don't let them start running your business for you. Just quick final comment. And then also, Derek.
Two very quick ones. One is that absolutely you need to be very careful about the being hijacked by software vendors or people who are trying to sell you something. So you want some independence. And the second is that, just coming back to your thought, is I think be very clear about your own expectations. So be honest with yourself about what you're expecting. You can't brief somebody to give you a service unless you are very clear with them about what your expectations are.
Yeah, and okay. What you want out.
Derek, final comment to small businesses.
All I can say is let's go out there and work.
It's all about work.
That's very important.
Productivity, getting out there and making it happen.
Thank you so much, Richard Angus, as always, Anthony Soitcher and Derek Nzavi, for adding value to small businesses in general, I think, out there. And we hope you gain a lot from it. This conversation was brought to you by Trudon. Visit trudonhome.co.za for all your small business marketing needs. Trudon, it's our business to grow your business.
This putt for birdie and to take the trophy as the new champion. And you still haven't booked that jumping castle for your daughter's birthday tomorrow. 15 yards from the hole should break from left to right. And just imagine the disappointment as your daughter realizes you've let her down in spectacular fashion.
Address those pressing issues fast. Access yellowpages.co.za from your mobile, tablet, or via the app. Now with free call, bookings, quotations, and detailed maps. Yellow Pages. Local reliable results in an instant.
CliffCentral.com